We're going to be reading in the last chapter of Mark. Had a baptizing this morning, and I baptized four people there at the river. And we were thinking about that this week, and some thoughts come to our mind. And we was out in the barn, I believe it was, and I was praying. Then we was in the house, and we had some thoughts, and we went a direction we didn't think that. It's something how when you read a passage of Scripture or you have a thought in your mind and you're thinking about them and the Lord's speaking to you, it's amazing sometimes where that will lead you and how many other thoughts, how many other roads it takes you down. And the prayer is tonight that we might have a better understanding when we leave the house of God, that we might have a better understanding of God's Word and what He would have us to know. We're once again in St. Mark, the 16th chapter, and we're going to read the 15th and the 16th verse. And it says, "And he said unto them," this is Jesus speaking, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And then we're going to turn over and Acts. It's a popular passage of Scripture. I guess you could say this was the first gospel message that was preached by one of the disciples after Christ's ascension, after the disciples had received the Holy Ghost. And it was a powerful message. We know that it was a powerful message because there was over about 3,000 souls were saved that day. At the conclusion of the message, it says, now we're in the second chapter of Acts, and the 37th verse, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And you know, I was thinking about this week about baptism, and I know that as Baptists that this is something that we cherish. This is something that we is part of our ordinances, as part of our practices. And I was thinking about in the Bible where it speaks about it. We know that John the Baptist, that he baptized, but it was not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There was those that come, and he was telling them of a promise. He was telling them of one, and this was an open act that they come down and was baptized to John, that they believed his witness, that they were baptized. He came, and what did he preach? He preached to them repentance. And we find out that when Jesus Christ, the last words before he left, what did he say? He said, "He that believeth," we'll read it again, "he that believeth shall be saved." But it says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And you know, we have to think. I know that there are some denominations, and it's not the Baptist that believe that that if you was to die. I know I believe it's the Christian church. Some of those that are Church of Christ, that if you was to die before you got baptized, that you'd be eternally lost because of these commandments here. That's what we want to preach on tonight, if the Lord would allow us, what the Bible says. The Bible says that we must believe and be baptized. So Christ Jesus was telling us, what was He trying to communicate to us there? I believe that baptism is very important. Else Jesus Christ wouldn't have said it. But He goes on to say, "He that believeth not shall be damned." So we know those that believe not are not going to be baptized, are they? Why would anybody be baptized in the name of the Lord that believed in God? But I want to study the Scripture out that the Lord would allow and understand that no baptism is a wonderful thing, and I'm not going to try to diminish from it at all tonight. What was the Lord trying to say here? Was it essential that Daryl be baptized? When the apostles
apostle. I said, repent. I be baptized. I Daryl, I need to be baptized for the saving of his soul. Well, I want to declare to you tonight that what the Lord was trying to communicate, as it was already said along the river there, that you must believe and obey. Amen. That's what baptism is. It is the first commandment given to the church here. When the unit was there in Philip, was walking by the way, he began to tell him, he began to explain to him what was wrote in Isaiah. And when he heard it, he believed, and he said, what hindereth me to be baptized? We didn't know as well that when Paul, when Peter was speaking to those, he said, repent and be baptized, declare to the world what's taking place literally in your heart. And then he speaks about the Word of God having the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, without the Spirit, we are not of his. I'm thankful that everyone that's ever entered the gates of heaven have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful that when I come to an altar, and the Lord called me out, I sit back here in the pew. And when the Lord called me out, I can remember it well. Daryl didn't want to repent. Daryl didn't want to believe. But the Holy Spirit drew me unto that altar. And I came into the family of God. And I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I received the salvation to my soul. And then it was in the future there, down by the river, I was proclaiming to the world what had taken place inwardly. But I'm afraid today that so many people don't see the primary point in Scripture. They go off on a tangent about what the Lord would have us know. It's the same thing that he said nearly 1,000 years ago in 2 Chronicles. If you want to read it, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse, he said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's the same, it was the same message then that Jesus Christ came and told them before he left. The same message that Peter is well preached. Repent and be baptized. If you will humble yourselves, no proud man's ever repented of anything he's done. But if you'll humble yourself, as it says here, and pray and seek his face, no man's ever seek the face of God and refuse to obey him. So then, it's not essential before I die, if I come to the altar, to get baptized, or rather, that if I die before I'm baptized, I'm not damned to hell. But listen, each and every one of us, there's never been a man that refused to be baptized that entered the gates of heaven. And you say, Daryl, oh, now wait a minute. The Bible says that we must believe. There's not been any man that's ever believed in Christ Jesus and refused to obey him. That's why each and every one of us, we need to look at the Scripture and read it for itself and realize that Paul, Peter, those the foundation of our doctrine. Christ Jesus himself gave us a simple commandment that we he must believe. If any man believe and is baptized, have you been baptized into the family of God? How do you believe him? Have you casted every care upon him? Or have you been led astray? You know, I've been thinking about a certain scripture, and we can go ahead and we can read it, because this is what come to our mind this week. It says in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 1st verse, this is a true saying: if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth the good work. A bishop then must be blameless, a husband of one wife, a vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. I've heard, I hear it more today, I guess, than I ever have about men. The only time that you hear that scripture, it seems, is when somebody wants to communicate to a congregation that a woman can't preach, because the Bible says, after all, that you have to, that a bishop has to be the husband of one wife. And because at best you could say that that's a secondary or a third thing that the apostle was trying to communicate, but it was not the primary thought that he was trying to portray here. We live in a society today, I know, that's not the problem here in our county. The women preachers running around, coming in our Baptist churches and leading people astray. But yet it seems as if the preachers want to communicate now that the Lord don't call women to preach. But listen, the problem in this county and in every county around is that those that have desired the office of a pastor, of a bishop, don't meet the qualifications. And why is it? Because, as the Bible says here, they must be the husband of one wife. And now let us think just for a while. Who wrote this? But we know that it was Paul. So if we take the letter of the law, as it were, the very letters of that verse, what was he saying here? That a man, a single man, if you draw the same conclusion, that a single man can't preach, can't be a pastor, but Paul himself, who would want Paul for a pastor? Who would want Paul to preach the gospel? And we've lost sight of what the Lord is trying to tell us, that men of God, all men of God, can't be the husband of more than one wife. And I'm afraid today, I heard a preacher, he's double married right now, take the very scripture that condemns him to say that women ought not to preach. And we worry and struggle and wonder about those things that are not even manifested in our society, within our community. But the very sin that is destroying the church is all around us, and we can't see the primary understanding of God's scripture or every time mentioned or the secondary or the third thing to be said. Who am I? You know what? I've heard a lot of people laugh and make fun of this and that one. I know myself that the problem is not women preaching today, is that men call themselves preachers and ain't been called. But Paul here wasn't talking about the anointed of God, because he said, as it were here, if there's a man, if there's one that desires that position, there's a lot of men today that desire to be a preacher, and so they go, and they go to school, and the better school they go to, I reckon the more they think they're qualified. But it's talking about pastors here. But every pastor, every preacher that's ever preached in the Spirit of God has been called. It ain't something we desire. It ain't something we worked up. But it was something through the moving of the Holy Spirit that seemed to call whom he would. And those that have answered the call, I can truly say, they've been blessed. I know, and so we are. And a generation, as Paul said, if you read it in Acts, you can go on. And they said, what do we do? And he went on and said, that you must repent and be baptized. And then it goes on and says, in the 40th verse, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Untoward, here's the definition of it. Froward, perverse, not easily guided or taught, inconvenient, troublesome, and unmanageable. So Daryl Hensley, to be honest, I'll have to say that I've never heard a woman preach. But one thing I do know, whom God calls, he qualifies, amen. And I've seen a lot of men stand to preach behind the pulpit, and they ain't been called either. But the Bible teaches me God can even call a jackass. And there's men that raise up and puff up themselves and say, well, the Lord's called me and not this other. But listen, the disobedience of old Balaam, but guess what? He was supposed to have been a prophet of God. But in his disobedience, God called, enabled this jackass to speak the word of truth. Was he not a prophet? Or he spoke of those things that were to come to pass. So then, who is Daryl to say God ain't going to call this one or that one? But let's look around us today. I ain't seen it. So why worry about it? It's not a thing to be worried about. But what we ought to be worried about is those that are professors of the faith, but yet they disobey God's word. Why would God want a bishop not to be the husband of more in one life? Because it's sin. The Bible says in Matthew, as well as in John, that said, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. So why would any one of us accept a man in as a position of pastor, as a position of bishop, that is living in open sin? The Bible says, when you read the qualifications, it has nothing to do with their delivery. It has nothing to do with whether they have great gifts that the church would look upon. But it has to do with conduct. And the same with me and you today. That's all the world can go on. That's all that you can go on. But we somehow have seemed to divide it. Just like those have divided this scripture. We didn't think we'd get all into that. About the qualifications of a preacher in that verse that we read. That it's no more than to say a woman can't preach. And we're forgiven. We're not seeing or refusing to see what the Lord was really wanting to communicate. His church. I don't need to worry about being able to trap grizzly bear in the state of Missouri. You know that's what I could do. Have you ever seen man in sales? Well, I've got a customer, and he has goats. He has them boar goats. And he's got guard dogs to guard them. And he was talking about a place that he loved to turn them goats in because it's so brushy. And even though he has guard dogs, he said, I'm afraid, though, that they would be disappearing truckload, I think is what he said. And you know what? I could show up on his front door and tell him that I can sell him a bear trap that'll catch every grizzly bear in the county of Lackley. And you know what? I wouldn't be lying to him because I could sell him a shoebox and it would trap every grizzly bear in the county of Lackley. Why? We ain't got any. But today, anybody that has goats, I don't know when, if ever, a grizzly bear killed a goat in the state of Missouri. I don't know back when they had them. There might have been some sheep that lost their life. But you know, there weren't too many goat farmers around. But what today is the problem is with cows. And they'll destroy a herd of goats. They'll destroy a herd of sheep. And it would do me no good to become skilled in the art of trapping grizzly bears. Oh, and what's the problem? It's the coyotes through the country. A coyote won't get trapped in a grizzly bear trap. They're too heavy. What it causes to trip those traps, they can't trigger it. They don't weigh enough. A coyote don't weigh the weight. The whole coyote won't weigh the weight of a grizzly bear's leg. So we've got preachers today that are effective at trapping grizzly bear, but the coyotes are destroying the flock, and they argue and they worry about women preachers. And what they ought to worry about is preachers in the congregation living in open sin. It's time and high time we go back to the scripture and be schooled in the things of God. It's not our world, it's not in decay because people are getting baptized. Our world's in decay today. The church lays in shambles. Not the true church, mind you, but the organized church. You go throughout the country and you go into church after church and it's just a skeleton. It's people 50 years and older, unless they play the rock music, and then you'll get a big young following. But the church, and I speak of the organized church, is in decay today because of the preacher. Those all around are worried about some predator that don't even exist. The Bible says it's the little fox that destroys the vine. A froward and untoward, a generation. The message was preached there about Peter and the apostles, and that was a powerful message indeed. A message that each and every preacher, each and every evangelist needs to get back to. A repent and obey. Repent. I don't want to diminish the ordinance of baptism. Repent and be baptized into the family of God. If you go down a dry sinner, as the old saying is, you'll come up a wet one. There is no saving grace. There is no saving no saving act in the fact of going down by the river and getting wet. I know that there are some big churches
that they've got baptismals, I guess is what you call them, small baths that are big bathtubs rather, and they're always behind the pulpit. And you know, I guess maybe if you lived in a community where you didn't have a river, I guess, maybe you lived in a desert. But do you realize that the old eunuch would fill it? It says they were in the desert. And even in the desert, they found water. There it was conveniently by there. And if you read the account, and he said, "What hindereth me to be baptized?" I guess I see over there somebody's trying to sell tickets or maybe stir up a tourist attraction. Have you seen the cave that they supposedly found over there in over there in Israel? And they say that this was a cave, and it's got a pool in it. And they say this is where John the Baptist baptized people. And you know, the Bible tells me baptized when they're along the river. I didn't call in no cave. I don't know about you, but I don't think I did. Why the Lord said, why instituted baptism? It was a witnessing tool, just like today. I wonder if those that were fishing got up and thought they was going to go fishing. They thought they'd hear a message. They thought they'd hear someone shouting down by the river. They thought they'd hear a preacher. I wonder what they was thinking. The one thing I know, they can honestly say that they've never heard another message, that they heard one that day, that the Lord came by and showed them that there's a reality in serving Him. I was mentioning that this morning. That we're the only ones that go down there, as it says in Romans, I believe the 6th chapter, speaking about being dead in Christ and raised again. We're the only ones that go to the river and doing that. Perform a ceremony that is symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why I think it ought to be done along the riverside. Declare to the world that though Jesus Christ raised 2,000 years ago, He's still saving men today. Men still yet today are dying out to sin and raising a new creature in Christ Jesus. So I don't need to go hide in a church or anywhere else, a cave or any place else, to be able to obey my Lord. So then, what was Jesus trying to communicate? I think He was trying to tell each and every one of us that we ought to be baptized. But if we are, it's because we've obeyed. You know, I'm not saying that obedience saves us. You know, once again, I hear arguments of one saying that you gotta obey God in order to be saved. And I heard another one saying, well, no, obedience is not important. I'm trusting in grace. I'm trusting in mercy. But you know, you can argue about it. You can take any position that you want on it. One thing I do know, if you're saved, you will obey. Let's forget about the hypotheticals. Let's forget about what if this and what if that. But the Bible clearly teaches us, and that's why I said it and I'll say it again. I don't know of any Christian that ever refused to be baptized. Why? Because can you say I believe in the Lord? Or can you say I put my faith in Christ Jesus and not believe Him? Can you say I believe Him and not obey Him? Well, then what's it mean to believe Him? If it doesn't mean you hear what He says and you count it to be true. If my daddy tells me when I was a little kid, don't touch the electric fence, I could say to myself, now wait a minute, I can touch the electric fence and I'll still be my father's son. Or maybe I'd have a brother there and say, no, don't touch the electric fence, because if you do, it could kill you. But listen, what's important here is that my father but told me not to touch it. And if I do, I'll find out why. So then, I need not to worry about it. If I touch it, will I be still as sound? Or will I not? But the Lord said, we must believe in Him. And if I believe my Father, and there's very few fathers that don't love their children, that will not communicate to them, don't touch the water, because it'll shock you. So if I believe my Father, Daryl won't touch it. And if Daryl don't believe, then he'll reach out and touch it. I don't know of anybody that say, well, I believe him. I believe that it would shock you, but I'm going to do it anyhow. Now, there's a lot of people that say, and I can remember this. My sister, there are some fences that would shock harder than others. And I can remember, growing up as a kid, I'd hurry up and put my finger on the electric wire. And my dad really didn't tell me because he'd already told me. I'd already experienced it. I didn't need the warning of my father to tell me not to touch the fence. But that's the way the world is. Once they find out something, once they read about a sin in God's Word, and they're living it, they don't see that the consequences, because there are some sins in this life, that the consequences aren't as severe as others. And I found out that to be the case with electric fences. And there was some, I'd hear that thing popping, and I'd get to where I could go with the rhythm of it, and I'd move my hand and I'd touch the wire in between pulses, and I'd tell my sister, see, it ain't even on. And she found out, and she was foolish about that, it was, unless she got the rhythm down. But you know what? Unfortunately, that's the way the world is today, with a lot of false doctrines that went around, and they don't believe of God's simple truth. I can remember the old gospel hymn that was wrote a long time ago. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. No, you don't have to trust and obey, but if you don't, can you say that you believe Him? Can you say it in your heart with a clear conscience? Anyone that's ever believed Jesus Christ, when the opportunity arises, will be baptized. Because anybody that's ever believed in Christ Jesus wants to obey Him as any good son. Yes, there's been times that I've been a disobedient. But a son seeking the will of the Father, as we read in Corinthians already, or Chronicles rather, you've seen the passage of Scripture where it says, my people which are called by my name. That's where a lot of people want to be. They want to be called Christians, don't they? And they want to be recognized with an organized church. And the Bible says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. There's not been a daughter that seek the will of their father that did not obey him. The problem is today is people has felt secure. They put their faith in grace. They put their faith in faith. But the Bible says that we are to put our faith in Christ Jesus. And if we put our faith in Christ Jesus, can we separate Christ Jesus from His Word? Oh yes, we can. We won't do it very effectively in the life to come. We won't do it very effectively in the day of judgment. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of people that within their mind has rationalized their disobedience to God and rationalized their actions to say, I can believe in Jesus, but not believe in His Word. I told that to a man. He said, oh, surely there's nobody that's ever went to church that don't believe, that would admit they don't believe God's Word. He said, well, what the problem is, is that people don't understand God's Word. And I thought to myself, I wish that were the case. There's a lot of people, you can read the Scripture to them, and they'll say, well, I just don't believe it. They'll say, I don't believe it that way. That's what a lot of them will say. But just as we mentioned already, we're not a member of the conference here in this state because ill ordained devil married preachers. And they explained it away to say what Paul was talking about is he didn't want preachers to be committing polygamy. But you know what? That ain't what he was talking about. And to be married, that's why when one's divorced, they say, my first wife. It ain't his wife anymore. Why they put first in it. I know a man's been married 4 times. He says, my first wife, my second wife, my third wife, my fourth wife. And when he stands before God, the Lord will say, you had the one. And it was your first wife. And every other one of those you were shacked up with and was committing adultery. And he'll send him to hell, not because of the sin of adultery, but he'll go to hell because he didn't believe in Jesus. He did not repent. He was not baptized. And his life was a life of disobedience. His life was filled with sin. And he thought that God had made a way, that Jesus had come so that he could live in his sin and been excused. But Jesus didn't only die in my stead, but he came and he gave me his sweet Holy Spirit that I could be free from sin. Oh yes, there's times when I fall, but I want to tell you, it's a wonderful thing to know that Daryl don't have to wallow in his sin anymore. Daryl don't have to go home and enter right back into that sinful relationship that Daryl was in, but he can be set free from it. But that's not being set free from it, Daryl, if I can't do what I want. We think today to be set free from sin is to be able to say, I'm sorry of my past. And Lord, from here on out, I'm going to do what you want me to do as long as it's what I want to do. But repentance is not being sorry of your past. The Bible speaks about a sorrow unto salvation. And this is not a popular message because I could be wrong, but I think maybe we live in a more of an untoward generation today than Peter was faced with. Peter preached that message and he said unto them to separate themselves from that generation. And 3,000 listened. Today, if you was to preach this message in a lot of churches, people would walk away and would say, this just cannot be. Not to pick or make fun of anybody, but I just have a trouble picturing John the Baptist leading people to the water's edge and reaching down and smacking the surface of the water, and water flying up in their face, and calling that baptizing. Because it didn't happen that way. Maybe that's where a christening first came from, was when somebody read about Philip and that they was in the desert, him and that eunuch. Surely there wasn't enough water to baptize somebody, so all he had was enough water to splash in his face. But you know the Bible didn't say that he christened him. Said that he baptized him. And I'm thankful that if we obey God's Word, we too will be baptized. I'm thankful that a simple obedience has brought peace to my soul. Listen to me. It wasn't that I willed myself to obey and I'm a Christian now. As some of the Calvinists would like to declare or like to accuse me of preaching, I've not preached that. I didn't will myself to be a better person. But the Lord said, Daryl, you must repent of your sins and be converted. It's what Paul said, or Peter rather. If you read on in the third chapter of the Acts, he went on to say, not only to repent and be baptized, but he said the same thing a different way. Repent and be converted. There's never anybody that's ever been converted that did not obey God. But he was declaring to the world, you must repent and be converted. And I'm thankful that a conversion has taken place in my heart. It wasn't something that Daryl willed to do, but I opened my heart up to that drawing of the Holy Spirit. There was a time in my life, as we get some song to sing, there was a time in my life that I truly wanted to do good, but Daryl didn't have it within him, but Daryl hadn't repented. Just like we've mentioned it many times before, it's just like the man that's addicted to pornography. If he has come to the preacher, and I say, well, preacher, I can't help but look at these dirty magazines. Oh, if the preacher had a lick of sense, if he was wise at all, he'd begin to ask some questions. Well, where are you looking at them? Where are you got them? Well, I've got them out in the shed behind the house. You need to repent. Preacher, I am. That's why I'm coming to you. I've repented time and time again. And I still find myself looking at them magazines. You ain't repented until you throw them in the trash. The Lord can give us the strength. That's what the world would like to say. Well, I really have. I'm really sorry, but I'm just too weak. And we have it today. There's a lot of people probably listening to this, maybe on the internet, and they say, well, I wish it was that easy, Daryl, but I throw that magazine now, but I've got a computer, and it happens even when I don't want to. What the Bible said, the Bible, Jesus Christ said, and I'll put it in today's language, if your computer offend me, throw it out the back door. He said, it's better to go in the heaven, name and hold, blind. He said, if our eye offend me, pluck it off. If our hand, cut it off. And we'll have no excuse. But there's men today and women that think that things were just different. I've never bought a piece of pornography in all my life, but I've seen it on the computer and I'm addicted. Oh, the addict. Don't go back in the bar if he's an alcoholic. You don't stand down at the street corner, and you don't even go in the part of town. Listen to me. If you're fully repented, you don't even go in the same part of town when you've first repented from the Lord. Every time you find yourself in that particular part of town, you can tell yourself, Daryl, wait a minute. Have I turned from my repentance? Why am I down here? Have I fully repented? I have. How to go to the drug dealer. I have no need to enter the bar. And people argue. But today I'm truly dumbfounded. They'll argue whether a Christian can go to the bar or not. If you're repented, you ain't got no reason. If you're fully repented, there won't have any reason as well to be ensnared where he's failed. Have you heard the old saying about somebody doing you dirty? Do you dirty? Do me dirty once, shame on you. Do me dirty twice, shame on me. If you've been born again and the devil's ensnared you and you didn't see it coming, well, the Lord has made a provision. There's a place of repentance for every one of us, but we must repent. But if you go back to the same place, if you continue to have relations with those that an accomplice to your sin, you're just lying to yourself to make yourself feel good. That I repented, but I have moments of weakness. Well, all right then. The Bible says flee temptation. So we better have, because if we don't, I will stand before Him and we'll be the guilty of not believing in His name for our redemption.
Have an affection.
to the world's been very successful. I'll be so bold as to say that the devil's preachers have been very successful to be able to separate belief and baptism, repentance and baptism. And you know, there's a lot of people that don't see the need to be baptized. But you know what? It's a command of God. I think we ought to do it. But they've even been able to separate, which is truly what we once already said. Now the same thing when Peter says, repent and be converted. It breaks my heart. Now to think that people, to think that they have fully repented and they've yet experienced the conversion. That they think that they fully believe in Christ Jesus, but they've not been delivered from their sin. Oh, there's a lot of people that's got ministries that go here and there. Had a man call me up and said, because they was having some big old, I think it was I can't even remember now. It was some big event in St. Louis. Some professional basketball team was coming there to play. And he was wanting to know that they were going to be able to have a portion of that time to minister. They were sending a bunch of people up there. And he wanted to know if I'd contribute some money. And I told him, I said, well, I said, I really don't feel comfortable about it. I said, so many people go to a ball game instead of church that they've used that as an idol. And I don't think that we need to be getting in there and reinforcing that that's a good place to go. Really, if you're receptive to the gospel, that you'd probably be more receptive away from a place such as that. Well, it kind of made him angry. He kind of got snooty and he said, well, I'll thank you anyway. Really, the problem is a lot of people want God on their terms. And I'm thankful that through the Holy Scripture we can know, I think I've mentioned this before, there's no need for us to fail the test. After all, it's an open book. This life that we live in is an open book test. I went to school with some guys that were so lazy, they failed an open book test. I ain't kidding you. I didn't want to look it up. I can remember one guy, and I'll not mention his name. He hollered. He says, what's the answer for number 12? And I shouldn't have done it, but I did it. Anyway, I said, it's on page 42. Went a little bit longer. Daryl, what's the answer for number 12? It's on page 42. Well, yeah, I know, but what's the answer? I said, look it up. That's lazy. That's lazy. There's a lot of people today much more lazier than that. You know, they'll hear a message and they'll convict their heart. And they're too lazy to get the Bible out. They'll go and they'll ask this preacher and that preacher. And if it's a sin that hits them close, well, they won't go to the preacher that preached it now. Listen to me. And they'll go to the preacher at work that everybody laughs about and talks behind their back about. And get his wise counsel. And then say, well, you know, that's the way I thought it was. Had a man tell me, it's not important what his name was. Had a man tell me, he says, well, after all, the Quran might be right. And I says, well, have you read it? He says, well, no, I haven't read it nor the Bible. And I'd say, well, maybe a decision as important as eternity, that it would warn an informed decision. He said, well, you're probably right. You know, if I ask him today, I'd say nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. But he feels comfortable to say, well, maybe the Quran's right, because what he's saying is, well, maybe the Bible's wrong. I'm glad that there's a final authority. And I'm glad that Jesus Christ told Daryl that he needed to believe and be baptized. Amen. I've truly been blessed in life through simple obedience. It has spared me from so much pain. I see people today that are making some mistakes. And it's really because They're part of that untoward generation. Stiff-necked, unwilling to just follow the simple commands of God. My desire is that, and my hope is, that time won't run out before they learn the lesson that's been taught them their whole life.